Well, good morning. Almost afternoon. Couple of seconds and it'll be the afternoon of first day of the new year. And seeing it's the first message that I'm going to give this year, I'm going to just look at this, the idea of something new. Before we begin, let's just look to the Lord again for his blessing upon us this morning. Father, we thank you as we come to you early in this new year of 2023. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in 2022. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for carrying us through the difficulties and the dark nights and the hard, long days. You have proven yourself faithful for another year, for which we give thanks. Lord, as we look forward to another calendar year, our hearts are quieted because you know the events that are going to take place, the struggles that we may face, the dark nights, the hard days, the disappointments. But Lord, we thank you that we can trust you. You've carried us this far. And you will not fail ever. So, Father, we pray as we look into your word today, may we be encouraged in our hearts and give you thanks once again in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, first of all, I think we can be thankful, as I mentioned in my prayer, we can be thankful for the many blessings that we've seen in this past year. And we can be thankful, I think, for the very fact that we're all here and actually seeing a new year. That's a big accomplishment, especially as you go older. You know, don't never know what a year might bring forth. Now, we wish each other a happy new year. And oftentimes it's just a saying, happy new year, happy new year. I guess it implies that because it's a blank sheet, in a sense, it's going to be somehow better than our memories of the last. Yes, there have been long, hard days. There have been long nights sometimes. There have been watchings and waitings. Our patience has been tried. Things have happened in the world that we never expected. War in Ukraine. COVID continuing. Outbreaks of flu that we never expected. And then all the individual challenges that each of us face in our own lives. There's a big catalog of them. And do we really expect that the new year is going to be better than the last? Or is there going to be more of the same? I think in reality, that's what we might expect. I'd like you to turn with me in the scripture to Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, and verses 9 and 10. Ecclesiastes chapter chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Solomon was perhaps the wisest man that ever lived. He was given the intellectual ability and the spiritual discernment, and he was given the opportunity to search out wisdom. And he applied his heart to that. And this is what he has to say about the events of life. He says here in verse 9, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It's already been in ancient times before us. When we say we have a new year, it's really not new. It's just another of the same kind that we just went through. It's turning a page, you might say, of the same book. Sometimes new or newer, it's the most recent year, the most recent time. But Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun. It's all a repetition. That which has been is what will be. So we can expect the same kind of challenges, just with a different label, this year as we had last year. So I'm sorry that I have to start off on this kind of gloomy note, but we might as well be realistic. Should we not be? Solomon certainly was. He says these things have been going on from ancient times. Now, young people, and maybe some of you older ones as well, might say, well, you know, I'm looking forward to a new iPhone. The latest has come out. And there's always something new, supposedly, under the sun, according to man. A new movie. A new style of clothing. A new something. The world is always looking for something new. The Greek philosophers in Athens, they were always contemplating something new, to hear some new kind of philosophy, some new teaching. And that's the world, it's new. They're looking for something new, something different. But is it really? That iPhone is merely, it's merely a communication device. And it communicates the same information that a book will give you, or which you might have in a conversation with someone. It's the medium itself is not the important thing, it's what it does. It's a communication device and communication. So that's not new. Getting a new iPhone doesn't constitute a new method of communicating information. It's not new. I picked up a hitchhiker from coming back from UBC one day and began to talk to the person, asked them what they were studying at the university. He said, I'm an artist. I'm studying in fine arts at UBC. Well, I said, well, do you agree with what Aristotle said, that all art is imitation? I thought for a moment and said, no. I said, I create. So I said to them, well, all art is imitation. There's no artist can really create anything. And he said, no, I believe I can create things. Artists create new things. Well, I think Aristotle was true. If it was Aristotle, I get Aristotle and Plato mixed up. So either one, some Greek philosopher, art is imitation. All we do is imitate what God has already created. Even the iPhone and the technology behind that, man is only making use of what God made and created. The makers of these smartphones are not creating anything. All they're doing is reassembling things that God has already created. And they're putting them together. That's all. Using the intelligence that God has given. Only God can make something new. He's a God of miracles. Now, Israel, an example. Israel was in Egypt. You know the story well. They were absolutely helpless under the power of Pharaoh. They were just a bunch of slaves. But God stepped in. And from a bunch of slaves, he created a sovereign nation. He redeemed them for himself. He delivered them from the power of the enemy. He brought them to himself in the wilderness. And he took them miraculously through the wilderness into their own land. And so from slavery to sovereignty, it was all God's doing. And how many times in the scriptures is there a record of that experience that they experienced there in the wilderness? All through the prophets and Psalms, the writers refer back to that time when God miraculously formed a nation from a non-people. And he said in Exodus chapter 12, it's interesting, he gave them a new calendar. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So only God can create something. Only God can make a brand new beginning. Everything else is a repetition. Solomon is right. That which has been is what will be. And that which is done is what will be done. There's nothing new under the sun. They just come with different labels in different times, and it's a repetition one after another. And the human condition is trapped in this cycle of futility. All is vanity. All the works that a man does, every effort that he makes to change, is just a repetition, and it never comes to anything really, really, really new. New Year's resolutions. If you're like me, you probably gave up on those years and years and years ago. The problem with New Year's resolutions is they don't last. The reason is the heart of man stays the same. Unless there's a new person, the old person is going to keep repeating the same thing over and over and over again. The world won't change because we can't even change our own worlds. That which we can control, we can't change. So how are we going to change? How is man going to change the world? I don't know if you ever ran across the name Jordan Peterson, no relation to me. He's a sociologist, instructor, psychiatrist, or like a psychologist, and well known on the internet. And he has a word of advice for those young people that would protest and to change the world. He says the way that you can change the world is you can go home and clean up your room. That's where you start. Well, I thought that was very, very good advice. I'm very proud of the Petersons for coming up with that. But the world, we can't change the world because we cannot. We're trapped in this cycle of futility. Then we come to this lovely conjunction, but God. God is the God of new beginnings. He's the God of the second chances. He's the God that produces new mercies every morning for us. And God has provided the answer to man's problems in sending his Son into the world. Now, for us as Christians, we've heard this message over and over again. It's old, but it's absolutely new. Think of the new things that God has done. First of all, in sending his Son, the Godhead had to be disrupted in some way, some mysterious way. That was new. God, who is eternal, sufficient in himself, who has no need of anything, disrupted, as it were, if I could use that term, disrupted the Godhead by sending the third person of the Trinity into the world. And not only so, but he did something astounding, of which we have at Christmas time paid special attention to. That God became a man. He took on flesh. He took on that which he had created temporarily. He took on permanently. God became a man. What kind of miracle of miracles is that? But there was a purpose in that, in all this. He first of all demonstrated who he was in the body of his Son. The miracle of the life of the Lord Jesus. As a man, he was perfect. A perfect life. Every thought, every word, everything that he put his hands to was perfect. God gave a claim to that perfectness by saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." He could look on that life as no other life that had ever been lived. Well, there were times when men found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and their actions pleased the Lord, but there was only one that perfectly glorified God, the Father. And then there was a death. That was a new kind of death. You see, it wasn't a death that was demanded of the person because of their sin. It wasn't because the outworking of rebellion within that causes death. It was a death on the behalf of others. That death was not demanded because of failure, rebellion. It was an offering, a life given up for us. Then we think of his resurrection from the dead. There are others that had been resurrected throughout history by the power of God. But this was a unique resurrection. The resurrection of the woman of the woman's son by Elijah was a resuscitation. It was a bringing back to the same kind of life. There was nothing new. That was certainly a demonstration of power. And only God could do that. But it wasn't the true resurrection. Because when the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, he was raised to glory. His resurrection was a permanent. Death had been conquered. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he had to die again. It was only a temporary relief of death. It wasn't a true resurrection in that sense, that the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. That was new. That was something absolutely unique, or is something unique. He was raised not to this dimension, but to another dimension altogether. He had a body that could go through a wall, and yet it was material. He could eat. He could communicate. But death would have no other claim upon that one. He did that so that we might experience that same kind of life through the second birth. Nicodemus visited the Lord Jesus one night. He said, "We know that you're a prophet that came from God, be with him." The Lord Jesus cut the theological short and said to him, "Except you are born from above, you can't see the kingdom of God. You're stuck in the futility of the cycles of this earth, birth and death and judgment, birth and death and judgment. Birth, death, and judgment. How futile." But he said, "If you're born from above, you'll be able to see the eternal kingdom from where I have come and where I am going to go." That new birth, mysteriously, how it happens, no one knows. Happened to me over 50 years ago. in a log cabin on the backside of Bowen Island. I only knew, as I read that, I had read the scriptures that Jesus had come to save, that he had died for me. I didn't know much. One night I got down on my knees and I said, Lord Jesus, save me. Mysteriously, that miracle happened, the miracle of the second birth. I was born again. There was no flashes of lightning, no proclamations by angels. All that happened was I got up off of my knees and realized that I had received the Savior. Those that knew me knew that something had happened more than I did. I just knew that now I had a different direction, a different viewpoint. My burden was lifted. I had a new life. I couldn't express it that way exactly, but looking back, that's exactly what happened. I was a new creature. I was born again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We read, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and I was in Christ that night and have been ever since. It says here, they are a new creation. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Old things. The old desires, the old life, the old man. It seemed like a fading dream. I had a new life. All things became new. Only God could do that. The old cycle had been broken. A new life now stretched before me. I was a new man. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. He says, I have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. God has created a new man in Christ Jesus. When he raised him from the dead, I'm not sure how you'd say that. Christ, the man in the glory. And God now creates people in that image of him who is in the glory, who trust in the Lord Jesus. We're created to that same image. It's not just that we're better humans. We're actually created into the very image of God himself who created us. We're created in the image of our Creator. Solemn thing. We're excited. As a result, we have a new song. You know, all of us, I think, love poetry because we sing these poems that are set to music, and some of those words are so beautiful the way they're all put together. Poetry is an expression of the human soul, where the soul tries to express its deepest longings and desires and its hopes. But there's a new song now for a believer. It's as though we're tuned to a different key altogether. It's a heavenly song. And the psalmist speaks many times. Psalm 40, verse 3, for example. We have there, he has put a new song, not only in my heart, but in my mouth, he says. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. I remember my employer at the sawmill where I was working after I got saved. He saw the change. And yes, there was fear. The fear was displayed not in him believing, but he used to have a very filthy mouth, curse and swear, but then he would apologize when I was there in his presence. He feared God because of the song that was in my mouth. I didn't sing audibly, it was in my heart, but he recognized a change in my life. And also he's created a new path for us. We're a new creation, a new man in Christ. He's put a new song in our mouth, but he's also given us a new path. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, notice this, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He's created a pathway, created in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ Jesus. And as we walk in Christ Jesus, this pathway unfolds before us. And he's created that, a new path for us. We don't just sort of drift through life willy-nilly now. Those that have received the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they've got an established direction, a purpose. God doesn't do anything without a purpose. Everything he has created is all woven together in a complex web of purposes. And you and I individually who have trusted Christ, God has given us an individual purpose in our lives. How do we find that? In the new year, as we look to 2023, the pathway from here to 2024 is very nebulous. We can't really see it. It's not clear, is it? We don't know where the path is going to take us. We don't know what events might transpire in our lives. We know that there's going to be challenges, as I mentioned, dark nights, hard days, disappointments, challenges. There's going to be joys and victories, blessings. But we don't know in what order they're going to come, in what way they're going to be. We have no way of knowing. Moses was faced with that problem. God came to him one day in the wilderness, told him, you're going to take my people into the land. You're going to take them into the land that I'm going to show you. He said, well, I don't know. I've got a few problems, inability, everything else. He made a bunch of excuses not to, but God didn't listen to that. So finally, Moses got onto God's program and went to Pharaoh and told him what was going to happen if he didn't let the people go. And after 10 plagues, finally, Pharaoh let the people go. Moses, there at the Red Sea, mountains behind them, Red Sea in front of them, Egyptians coming down the valley. And what am I going to do? Stand still and see the salvation of God, was what God told Moses to tell the people. And he opened up a way through the water, and they went through into the promised land. After all those miracles, God had Moses come up to the mountain. He was going to give him the constitution for this new nation, his laws, statutes, judgments, commandments. And while he was up there, God was taking care of his people, sent manna from heaven, water out of the rock. The people got restless after a few days, a couple of weeks, made themselves an idol, worshiping idols. Moses came down from the mountain and angry. God was going to destroy the people. Moses intercedes for them. How am I going to lead this people after God says you're going to lead these people out of, into the promised land, even at that? He said, how can I lead these people? So go to Exodus 33. Moses has a question for the Lord. Exodus 33 and verse 13. Now I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. Show me your way now forward, if you want me to lead the people. It's like us standing now on the cusp of a new year, the beginning of a new year. What is the way? What is going to be the way? There's going to be all kinds of challenges. Now, each of us have responsibilities, nothing like Moses' responsibility to guide a whole nation through the wilderness into the promised land. But we do, each of us, even as a student, you've got studies, you've got work, parents have got the responsibilities of children, men and women, responsibilities of work. We all have these responsibilities and challenges on the way in this new year. So Moses said, show me your way, Lord. What he was looking for was a path through the future. The Lord said, no, I'm not going to show you the way. Verse 14, he said, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. My presence, I will be with you on the way. He's prepared a way for each of us through this year. Good works created in Christ Jesus. The way, he's not going to give us details as to the scenery or the events on the way. But he said, I will be with you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So that's really what we can count on. That in this new year, we have the presence of the Lord with us step by step by step by step. And he will lead us, just as he led the children of Israel through the wilderness for 40 years and finally into the promised land. And he never left them then. He continued on until they had claimed the land for their own, a sovereign people under God. Then in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, we can look forward to a time when these cycles will be ended. Verse 5 of chapter 21, where he says here, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. What a time to look forward to, when time will be no more and these cycles will have ended. And we'll be home. We'll be home. There'll be new cycles there. That in the ages to come, he's going to show his grace toward us in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you again for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you are going to be our guide through 2023 and beyond, even forever. We thank you now for your grace again to us in Jesus' name. Amen.